Be at Richlands Camp Meeting again this year. I'm looking forward to what the Lord will do. And this morning I was thinking about how we need the grace of the Lord to be with us in this meeting. You know, I read about that great grace being upon the early church, and they had many souls saved. By grace, you're saved through faith. And that grace of God brings salvation. It has appeared to all men. We need that grace to appear. And God gives grace that's sufficient for our needs. When Paul had a need, when Satan was buffeting him, it was that grace God said is sufficient. So we need that grace of God, and I'm looking for him to move. I'm excited to be here and thankful that he will help us.
I just appreciate the Lord. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to feel the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter the location. At times in China, I often feel like I'm living in a prison, and yet my soul feels so free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom that the enemy cannot take away. I appreciate the Lord. I am so glad to be saved.
All right, now you understand the situation that I'm in. We've already got the rundown on today's events, and he had to mention that chicken and dumplings. And so that's got some of your minds occupied. And then, of course, I understand for the home folks and having pastored and been involved in a meeting similar to this, I understand the stress and the pressure on a pastor and a local congregation. And so for most of the church people this morning, you have come in here, you have been so very busy, and then you just sit down and it's kind of like, whew. And then there are some of you who are just absolutely afraid to move, because if you make that sudden, unexpected move, you're afraid you're going to get shot. And you're kind of, you know, I'm a little nervous because I've just got this fear that somebody's going to try this bulletproof pulpit out, and you're going to be a bad shot like I am. And so, of course, maybe I'm not quite as large a target as some of our other, well. So my difficulty right now, and I say this very sincerely, my difficulty is trying to balance all of that and sift through it and keep my focus on what God wants to do in this service. Because for everyone whose mind is elsewhere, some legitimately so, yes, because there are other things, yet God is in this building this morning, and there's somebody here that he wants to touch especially. You may not recognize that. You may be unaware of it. But I'm here to tell you by the word of the Lord is in this building this morning, and he's walking up and down these aisles, and the focus now is on somebody that God is trying to reach. So you've already prayed. I'm asking you to stand again. Would you stand and would you ask the Lord several things? Number one, Lord, would you help the preacher to maintain his focus? Would you, Lord, confirm your word to us this morning? And would you accomplish your will? Put your hands up, church. Let me hear you pray for me. Would you do that? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, I only know, Lord, what you whispered in my ear. Accomplish your will in Jesus' name. Grab your Bibles, turn with me, remain standing if you're able to for the reading of the word of the Lord. A very familiar passage of Scripture, one that the Lord brought to my mind this morning. Psalm chapter 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bringing or bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm calling your attention back to verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. If the Lord will help me, you would give me your patience or attention, should I say, for a few moments. I want to preach something that I have not preached in years. But in early hours of the morning, the Lord whispered this to my ear, and I want to preach, when dreams come true. You might sit down, and again, I will try to be cognizant of the time. And yet I'm feeling something fill my soul as I stand before. It may very well be that today that I may preach to one, it might be two persons. It could even be three. Do not forget, I'm certain, should I say, that most everybody, has anybody in this building besides me ever been to the doctor's office before? Would you raise your hand? Anybody? All right, there are a few of you. I'm probably one of the few in this building that actually enjoys going to the doctor. I really do. And normally when I go in, I'll tell him up front, I'm not questioning your judgment, but what is that instrument? Why are you using it? What's the purpose of it? And what's this condition called? What are the symptoms? And every now and then I pick up a few big words that I can use. And sometimes it really doesn't matter whether I know what they mean or not, because most other folks don't. And so if I use it, they don't know if I've got it right or not. But how many of you have ever been to the doctor before? You had an 11 o'clock appointment and an 11:10, you're still sitting in that waiting room. Then it's 11:30 and you're still in that waiting room. And I've been there a time or two when it's been 12 and 12:30 and I've still been in that waiting room. You understand what I'm talking about? And the reality is, because that doctor was spending time with someone else. And I remember there was a time my mother worked for a local group of surgeons, and she was relating a case of how that there was a couple that were in the waiting room waiting, and they waited and they waited, and they were getting so restless, they were getting so vexed and complaining about how long it was taking. And then when the doctor finally called them back, they were berating the doctor and saying to him, we had to wait, we had to wait, we had to wait. And the doctor said, I'm sorry that I took so much time. But just a few moments ago, I had to break the news to that lady that she has cancer. And I've got to try to console her. And it took a little extra time. Do you know, suddenly, that vexation was lost when the doctor looked at that lady who was berating him and said, and now I've got to tell you, your results have come back positive and you have cancer. All of a sudden, she was more than willing for the doctor to take all the time that he needed. Could it be that you're not the one this morning in the doctor's office, but would you be willing to sit in the waiting room just a few minutes and let the Lord deal with the patient? Would you be willing to let God speak to somebody this morning? For you see, we come in this building, and it's so true, we see the outside. But God knows what's going on inside everybody that's in this building this morning. Sometimes we are very good at putting up a front and acting as if all is well, and yet the inside is nothing but turmoil. But you see, God looks beyond the outward, and God sees the inside. And so it is today. Could it be that that's you this morning? On the outside, everything does look all right. But you see, during the early hours of the morning, God was looking at your heart. And in looking at your heart, God nudged me to give you a message this morning. I hope I don't miss the will of God. If I do, it's my fault and not His. But I feel the unction of heaven today. I guess I must confess to you, I really don't have a lot of notes here. It was only early this morning that I heard the word of the Lord. And so I guess the best way to integrate this with the scripture is if I just testify a little bit. Would that be all right? Is that all right? Is that all right? Has anybody in your life ever walked through a low spot? Raise your hand. There's one or two, maybe three or four. Has there anybody ever walked through such a spot that you didn't even know whether you were even saved or not? Anybody? Is there among the 15 preachers here who stood, is there a one of you that'll be honest and say there was even a time and has been a time I didn't even know if I was called to preach still? Now, again, you, sir, may not raise your hand, but I dare say there's been a time or two your wife has wondered that. It may even be your congregation has wondered that as well. Amen. And if you ever been in a place where you felt like you didn't know if you would make it from one day to the next, have you ever found that time in your life where no matter how much you prayed, no matter how many days you fasted, the heavens were brass and God was not to be found? Is anybody that's ever been at that place where you could not hear the voice of God? And yet during that time, the devil never shut his mouth. If you were a man of God, if you were saved, I feel the Holy Ghost breathing on me right now. I may not jump and run this morning. We were in Myanmar the last Sunday of July. I was preaching in a church that I'd preached in before. Bible school there, small Bible school in an orphanage. The pastor asked me to preach, and we were there, and I got up to preach. Of course, I'm going it through an interpreter. I've not mastered Burmese yet, and about all the Burmese I know now is Mingalaba, and that means how are you? And sometime with my southern accent, it's just easier to say Milky Way bar and be done with it. And so I have done that from time to time. But we were at this service. I was preaching. I kind of had to slow it down because when you're going through an interpreter, that's what you have to do. So I just slowed it down, just kind of talking my way through it. Well, when I gave the altar call, much to my amazement, 20 to 30 people came, Brother Cody, and they're weeping and sobbing. They're just crying. I mean, it was amazing how the Lord moved on those people. At just before the service concluded, there was a young lady who came to the front. She was weeping and crying, probably in her 20s. She's weeping and crying. And she said, of course, the pastor interpreted for us. And she said, I've only been in this area about 5 months. She said, I came from another area of Burma, Myanmar, to this area for a job. The area where the church is located, there's a lot of factories and people come from all over Myanmar to earn a really good wage of 30 to 50 cents an hour. And she said, I came here and I have been coming to this church off and on. And she said, but in all the years that I lived in my village, Not one time, not one time did I ever hear the gospel message preached. Never did I hear the gospel. And she said, I started coming to this church. And for 5 months I've been coming. And I've heard just a little. And it has never made sense. But she said, while this man was preaching this morning, something came over me. And I began to cry. And all of a sudden, it all made sense. And she said, I realized I must repent of my sin and give my life to Christ. And I have done that. And I am saved today. I may not jump and I may not run, but all it takes is for the Spirit of the Lord to come on you and you to understand that God is talking to you this morning. Somebody help me while I preach. I said that God is talking to you today. Have you ever been in that place where for months, after month, it went on and on and on, and there was no help to be found? Such was the case, and I'm being very careful here, Brother Cody, but you might understand this. The last 2.5 years have been some of the awfulest years of my life. There were times that I didn't even know if I was saved. There were times I didn't even know if I was still called to preach. There were times I would get in the pulpit, Brother Cordell, and feel so far from God and step out of the pulpit as God had moved miraculously. People's lives being touched. Pastor saying, you don't know what God has done tonight. And I don't even know if I'm even saved. You're looking at me strange now. Got your attention. That's right. Go to pray, and God was nowhere to be found. Nowhere. Nowhere. Times, brother, that my own wife came to me and said, I'm worried about you. I said, I understand. I'm worried about myself. Are you hearing me? I said, I'm worried about myself. I said, in prayer, I cannot feel God. I cannot feel the Spirit. The only time that I can feel God is when I hear Him say, I've got you right where I want you. And that's it. That's it. That's it. And so, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost on this platform. I am. You may not, but I feel the Holy Ghost on this platform. And already it's resonating with somebody in this building because the Holy Ghost has found you today. You hear me? I said, the Holy Ghost has found you. You hear? I said, do you hear? Understanding that the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren throughout the world. I assure you there's nothing you're feeling that somebody else along the way has not already felt. But the devil is a master. He is a master. And so the first of this year rolled around. I'm really going to lose some of you, I'm sure. But the first of this year rolled around. And not only was I seemingly battling spiritually, mentally, and in other ways. And then I found myself, my body physically, something wasn't right. I kept telling my wife, something's wrong with me. Something is not right. I cannot hardly climb in a pulpit. I cannot hardly stand behind the desk. And I can't hardly get one foot in front of another. Preaching in London, Kentucky 2 months ago, 5 minutes, I was huffing and puffing. Couldn't even hardly get my breath. I said, something is wrong. Having a daughter that's a nurse can be a blessing. Sometimes it be a curse. Because they know all of the bad case scenarios. Daddy, you're threatening having a heart attack. So I go in May of this year and get it checked. I think I'm possibly having a heart attack. I'm having symptoms that won't go away. Some that I've had before. And so then They run all of these tests. And I mean, went through the full gamut. After a brief hospital stay, send me back, and then the doctor does a few more. The cardiologist, and the result is, you've got a good heart, Rev. So whether you believe it or not, I am a good-hearted guy, and I got the doctor's report to prove it. I'm a good-hearted guy. And so they try to find this and they try to find that. And of course, the old scenario is, Rev, you got to slow down. You're trying to do too much. You just can't keep up your pace. You've got to slow down. All right. I understand that. I'll do the best I can. But I've got a problem. I've still got a schedule. What am I supposed to do? A long story short, I'll speed up the details. I took several weeks off council, a few meetings, and then Sister Hudson and I, we went to, I flew down to Mexico for just a very brief trip, and later on a preacher there told me, who was on that trip, said, I knew something wasn't right with you, said you were just shaking all the time, said you weren't right. I said, I know I wasn't right, but I'm going to tell you, knowing you're not right and being able to do something about not being right are two different things. Are you hearing me? And there are some things that are beyond our control. Somebody said you can pray your way out of it. Well, if you could, you'd have been out of it a long time ago. Are you hearing me? Somebody said if you'd only fast another day. I tried that. You hear me? And that didn't work either. I am telling you, there are some things that you can pray yourself out of. There are some things you can fast. But there are some things that require divine intervention from God Himself, and only God Himself can turn things around. But I'm here to preach to you today. God can turn it around. I remember standing in the pulpit as I'm trying to preach. I remember stepping down wondering, will I ever feel strength again? Will I ever feel normal again? We leave. We come back from Myanmar. We're home just a few days and we're on the road again. But let me back you up to when I was in Myanmar, Brother Cody. One morning while praying. Are you listening to me? You're looking at me. You're looking at me. One morning while on the other side of the world in prayer, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I have done to you as I did to Job. I have turned you into the hand of the wicked one to test you and to try you. I only refused to let him have your life. Are you hearing me this morning? And suddenly, things began to make sense. Suddenly, things began to take a different form. Yes. Verona, Virginia, second week of last month. We were preaching the convention there for Brother William Strickler. I preached Tuesday night. And I preached Wednesday night, wondering if I was still saved. I was even called to preach. Thursday afternoon, at the hotel that the church had kindly paid for us to stay in, I was in prayer. 30 minutes seemed like an eternity. I couldn't hardly pray 15 minutes. And I felt like I was absolutely exhausted and could not go on. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? On that Thursday afternoon, Brother Cody, I don't know how to describe to you what happened. Are you listening to me, church? I don't know how to describe to you what happened, other than the fact that God came to me in that hotel room and touched me and turned my captivity. I felt like a cloud lifted off of me. I felt like chains fell by the wayside. And all of a sudden, strength began to come back to my body. Are you hearing me right now? I said, all of a sudden, strength began to come back to my body. That darkness began to disappear. That lethargy, that bondage, it was all of a sudden gone. And ever since then, I'm going to make you nervous right now. I've been preaching and preaching with strength and stamina that I never, ever dreamed possible. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm here today to preach to you by the word of the Lord that the Lord came to me and what had seemed like an impossible dream, all of a sudden God turned it all around and the dream became a reality. I'm here to preach to somebody today. You've been living in a dream and a hope that things are going to be better, and yet nothing seems to be better. But I'm here to preach to you by the word of the Lord that God is going to turn it around, and that dream is going to become a reality, and God is going to deliver you, and God is going to turn your captivity. I said, the Lord, come on now. Somebody help me while I preach to you today.
All right, preacher.
How long? How long? Ooh, how long has that thing held you captive? I read in the book of Luke, about a little woman who was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And while she was there, this woman had been afflicted for 18 years. Are you hearing me? And yet the Lord, are you hearing me right now? I said, but yet the Lord was in that otherwise unusual service. But all of a sudden the Lord looked around and saw that woman and recognized her for who she was. She was of the seed of Abraham. This woman is a seed of promise. She is entitled to every promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord walked in and saw her. How many of you have felt the presence of the Lord in this building already today? Don't you raise your hand if you haven't. How many of you felt the presence of the Lord in this building? Amen. Then that means that the absolute impossible can happen, take place right now. Jesus walked to that woman and got a hold of her and touched her, and immediately she straightened up. My understanding, nobody's running, nobody's jumping, nobody's dancing in the spirit, no preacher per se is preaching, nobody's singing. Thank God for all of the above. But none of those have to be going on for the Lord to come to your pew in this service this morning and touch you and let you go free. Are you hearing me right now? No, you don't hear what I'm saying. I said, you don't hear what I'm saying. I said, right now, while you're sitting there listening to my voice, the Spirit of the Lord Himself, who is in this building, can walk to where you're at and touch you and loose you and turn your captivity. Somebody say amen if you believe it. Amen. Oh, you know what? I would love to see somebody walk out different. Can you see that woman going as she's walking out? I remember when I had LASIK eye LASIK eye surgery some years ago. I was blind in one eye and couldn't see out of the other. I mean, literally, I'm telling you, I'd have to hold this Bible like that to read it. I mean, some of you even looked, you look good. I mean, I just couldn't see. I was blind, but I'll never forget a brother when they took that 15 seconds in one eye and 25 seconds in another, and he who was blind came for seeing. I remember riding down the road. I remember reading, hey man, the license tag on the car in front of me. You talk about fun, but I'd never done that before. Being able to read a sign, I'm telling you, looking out and being able to see my own fingers, I'm telling you, whether you realize it or not, God can do a miracle in this service this morning and turn it around. Can you see that little woman as she's marching down the road? Somebody says, who's that woman? She must be having back problems. No, she just got pre-back trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can hear her. She went saying, I've dreamed of this for days. I've dreamed of this for weeks, for months. I've dreamed. Amen. You see, here you are today. Yeah, I know. Let me read this scripture to you. Have you ever read this? Have you read this verse of scripture? This is where you're at today. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. That's how you are. You've even dreamed of that which you so desperately desire. And then you wake up, and it's all an illusion. I don't know if anybody, I'm sure in this congregation, I'm sure that there are some who have done extensive days of fasting before. But I've noticed, I don't know if you have this problem, I've noticed many times when I'm fasting extended days, I have dreams at night. You understand where I'm going? Somebody's laughing. And Brother Cordell, I have dreamed at night that I have gone to that drink machine and I was so thirsty. And in my dream, Brother Bob, I was when I'd go to that drink machine, so excited. But when I put my cup up there, the machine was broken, the ice, and the Coke wouldn't come out. And I'd wake up and that gut would be rolling. But I'm going to tell you, there came a day when I found the machine that was working. And there was ice in the bin and there was Coke in, amen, in the machine. God can turn it around for you in a moment, in an instant. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. That by the time this camp meeting comes to an end, God will have turned your captivity and your dream will become a reality. And your dream will become true. Help me right now, Lord. Pray for me, Brother Meekham. I'd pray for you. Are you hearing me, my friend? In prayer this morning, standing before you as one who has felt those buffeting winds, I felt the Lord nudge me to tell you what you already know. The Lord is going to turn your captivity. Your dream is going to become a reality. And I read this morning in the scripture where God, when he turned the captivity of Job, he restored double unto Job. Can I say what I feel to say? I feel so inadequate this morning. So inadequate. And I want to be so careful. I don't want to be such a vain voice for things that might not be.
But I felt like the Lord did deal with me in the early hours of the morning to tell you that when God turns your dream into a reality, it's going to be better than you ever imagined. And God restored double unto Job. Somebody pray for me right now. Would you somebody pray for me right now? Say, Lord, help Brother Tim right now. Lord, I'm asking you to confirm your word. Somebody pray. Lord, would you stand by me right now, Lord? If I speak your truth, would you confirm your word to us now in a way that we'll know the Lord turned the captivity of Job. There are some things Job will never get back. Never. But that doesn't mean that God's not going to turn his captivity and give him double of some things that he did lose. I'm here to tell you today, God is going to make your dream. Pray with me right now, church. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Would you stand with me, church? I wearied your patience long enough. I wearied your patience long enough. Wearied your patience. I just pray with me right now. Everyone's praying right now. That's all I'm asking you to do. Lord, I feel that I've spoken to this congregation the words that you spoke to me to give. And Lord, if I miss it, God, I'll bear the responsibility. But Lord, if indeed, let your word not return void. But Lord, speak to one right now and let them know, and let them know that you are going to turn the dream into a reality. And when you do, when the captivity is turned, it's going to be better than they ever pray. Would you lift your hands, church, and worship the Lord with me right now? I said, would you just, now bear with me, okay? Bear with me just a moment. If you're here today and somehow this has resonated with you, would you put those hands back up again and say, Lord, I thank you. I believe your word. I feel the gentleness of the Holy Ghost in this service today. Strange, is it not? As we stand here yet still, and I feel the gentleness of the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm looking across this sanctuary, and I'm seeing more than one in more than one section of this church wiping tears from your eyes, because you know you've been in that condition for a long, long time. But I'm here to tell you there's somebody in this building today who has the power to speak the word and turn it all around and bring you up and out of that captivity and render unto you double. This altar is open. I would like for you to join me in this altar this morning. Everybody that can. Everybody that will. Now, for those of you, now please, for those of you who sat in the waiting room this morning and said this was not for me, would you kindly pray around this altar and say, but God, would you help the one that the message was for? Church, how many of you will pray? Can I have a head count? Hand count. That in this camp meeting, by the time this meeting is over, that somebody's dream will become true and become a reality, and their captivity will be turned, and God will make a new person out of them. Come on. Will you do that? Will you do that? Come on, church. Let's pray. You got time to pray. We got plenty of time. It's only 20 minutes to 12. They probably won't let us in the kitchen before 12 o'clock anyway. You've got time. But God is speaking to you today. We invite you to join us. If not, please feel free to be seated. Just reverence the Lord where you're at. But somebody, you know who you are already. The Lord has spoken to you today. Your dream is going to become a reality. The dream. And then you'll laugh. And then you'll rejoice at what the Lord has done. Pray, saints, I feel the sweetness and the gentleness of the Lord in this building. I feel the sweetness and the gentleness. Oh, if you know somebody that needs prayer, go lay your hand on them. Oh, Lord. If you know somebody, you don't be afraid. I feel the gentleness of the Lord this morning. I feel the gentleness of the Lord. And it could be by the time this camp meeting is over, you're a new person. God turned your captivity. Oh, Lord. Church, I realize there are a few folks still praying, and I realize some are milling around. I understand that. But I want to ask something of you. Brother Philip just spoke to me, and he said, Brother Tim, he said, as you were preaching, he said, you were preaching to me. That's what you said. Said, and I didn't realize all the difficulties that you've been through in your wife. Sis, when I went to the doctor last Friday to see my primary care physician, you know what he told me? I told him, I said, Doc, they think that I have vasospasms where the heart's okay, but the blood vessels feeding the heart constrict. And he looked at me and he said, you don't have that. He said, that is so rare. You don't have that. He said, you know what your problem is? I said, why? He said, stress. He said, you've been having a stress attack. He said, it doesn't mimic. It is identical to a heart attack. You have the exact same symptoms. You go to the hospital. The only thing that tells the tale is the fact of the blood work. He said, every time you come in here, and he's a good friend of mine. I like him. He was very nice. He said, you're stressed. Every time you come, you've been here, you're going there, you're in this program, you're studying for this, and you're sitting in here with your iPad trying to get airline tickets to the other side. He said, you're stressed. But what he didn't understand, Brother Cody, is that there was a spiritual aspect. But I was glad that I could look at that doctor and say, but doctor, since I've been in Verona, Virginia, I've been a new man. Even my wife says, you're a new man, you're different. I'll tell you what it was. The Lord turned my captivity. And I told that nurse and I told that doctor, I said, I don't know how to tell you what happened, but the Lord came to me, and in an instant, I'm a different man. I believe that same Lord is able to come to you in this service and camp meeting and turn you completely around and make a feel the Holy Ghost, a new person out of you. And you can walk out of here saying, I can't explain it, but I know when God touched me. We were in church at Pacala, where we used to pastor Wednesday night. I couldn't hardly sit down. I wasn't even scheduled to preach. Brother Robbie, I asked him if I could testify. I got happy. I got to testify, and I couldn't hardly sit down. I got to testify, and Brother Cordell, I heard a commotion, and I looked over there, and Sister Hudson was shouting. She was just a shouting. She was just a shouting. And whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost. She got to testify. She said, I just want to thank the Lord for touching my husband and making a new man out of him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. There are others that have watched you sag down, but they're getting ready to see you come up and make a change and be a new person. Because the Lord's going to turn that captivity. And when it does, you're not going to be the same old person that you were a while back. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost on this platform. Oh, hallelujah. Have somebody praise the Lord. I said, somebody worship the Lord. I don't care what the devil has said. I know who's in charge. And I'm believing that before this camp meeting is over, somebody's going to be different. I wish somebody'd worship the Lord right now. We might break out an old-time holy roller meeting right now if somebody would only praise the Lord and say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I'll tell you something, God's not going to take no 12 o'clock lunch break. And I'm not up here dragging this thing out, but I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. And it might be right here in this service. God could turn things around for somebody here. I pray it happened before the week's over. It might even happen right here this morning, because the Lord is in this building. Where are you young folks at? Sis, obey the Lord. How many we got 30 years and younger? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You're 30 years and younger. You see that lady right there? She's not going to be here much longer. Somebody else is going to need to get up and take her place. Are you hearing me? And right now today be a good place for you to start and get your hands up and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you and believe you right now that you're in this building and you can still do the impossible. This is actually the reason I got up here. Saints, join me right now. Raise your hand and ask the Lord to help Brother Philip and Sister Carolyn. Would you do that right now? Obey the Lord, sis. Would you raise your hand right now toward heaven and ask God, would some of you brethren come lay your hand on your pastor and say, God, help Brother Philip Horton. Would some of you sisters come lay your hand on Sister Carolyn and say, God, help Sister Carolyn. I know we still got 5 minutes. They're not going to let you in. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I feel the unction to do this. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord, Brother Cody. I feel the Lord. Feel the Lord, Brother Meekum. I feel the Lord. And some of you others can join in too. If you're not able to get up here, put them hands up and let's believe God. More than I need chicken and dumplings and more than you need chicken, we need the Lord to come amongst us. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost.
I
feel the Holy Ghost, Rachel. I pray. I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you come, sweetheart? I feel the Holy Ghost. Sing it. I feel the Holy Ghost. That
Jesus.
Sing it.
Me now. I can. I will. I do believe. I can, I will.
Yes, I do believe.
Oh, I can. I will.
I do believe.
That
Jesus
heals me now. Oh, I can.
I will.
I do. I can. I will.
I do believe
that Jesus healed me now.
Brother Meekum, you come pray with a good brother here. His condition just got him so down and discouraged. You pray with him. Church folks, it's a prayer in the Lord's of heaven, folks. Sing on, brother.
Oh, yes. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. Jesus heals me now. Oh, I can, I will. I will. Jesus, heals me now. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh.
will.
I do believe.
Yes, I can.
I will and I do.
Yes, I can. I will.
And I do believe
that Jesus heals me now. Yes, I can. I will. Oh, I can, I will. I can, I will, I do believe.